Hello, I'm Kev Kiker, pastor of Booms Creek Baptist Church. We're so excited having you with us today. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And I hope you'll discover that today, that you'll be uplifted and encouraged as we praise the Lord together.
I know there's no way to be here. I'm pretty confident of that. I don't know where I'd move, but it probably be here. God's grace is sufficient. It covers our sin. All the news and everything we've seen this week, all the interviews and the hidden cameras. The one thing we know, the greatest thing we can do as Christians is stand on the promises of God.
Amen.
Let's stand and sing that great hymn this morning. Standing on the promises.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages and His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of heaven, with the heavens open and the earth set. By the living word of God, I shall remain. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Sing that last word.
Standing on the promises of Christ, O Lord, and to give eternally my Lord's strongholds. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing on the promises of God.
Creek Baptists, we're not just sitting on the premises, but we're standing on the promise.
Amen.
That's what Cam said. We've just got this place almost filled with capacity this morning. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
I heard we had a good preacher here, I believe. Somebody said this morning, said that we're not going to let that Mesa go, are we? And I said, no way. No way, no say. He's going to be preaching now. A couple of weeks down in Bowmantown, they're out with pastor, but I've already sent word. We don't have any preachers. We've got the one here that we want. And he's a keeper, isn't he?
Amen. Amen.
I see some of our folks missing today. One whole row.
Yeah.
By the way, we've got some at the Bowmantown Homecoming. Yeah. And we've got some that's gone to see their son down Nashville. We usually fill a whole road there. People have come in, but make up for it.
Amen.
Glad to have these folks from Harrogate, Tennessee. Now, and they've moved up here now. We're glad they're here. We've got Asa, two good children there. And this is our children's director, Asa. You're going to hear something about that just a little bit. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Man, it's good to see you. I'd like to have your daddy to lead us in prayer. Brother Daniels, you will? Lead us in prayer. Yes.
Our Father, we come to you this morning, not only as our Father, but Lord, you're everything.
Amen.
Amen.
You are our salvation. You are our hope. You are our life. You died that we might be saved.
Amen.
In your precious blood. And Lord, we're thankful for your faithfulness. Oh, how we come short of your glory. Oh, how short we come as we don't realize that we don't think, we don't examine ourselves in the light of the Scriptures. And that's the only way we can examine ourselves is through your precious word.
Amen.
And Lord, we talk about it and sing about standing on the promises of God, but you have to know what those promises are before you can claim them. And you have to be born of the Spirit of God before it's good.
Yes.
And Lord, we know this morning that you're able to do all things in our lives. And we pray that you'll come this morning, that you'll saturate Brother Asa Adams. That you fill him with your precious Holy Ghost. And let him be amazed, Lord, at what you can do through him. Not of him, but through him. It's only by your grace and by your mercy that you save any man. And Lord, we pray this morning that if there's one here that is undone without Christ, that you'll touch that heart this morning and that you'll save that soul and be your precious will. Draw us all closer to you. May we examine ourselves and look into our souls and search our hearts. Because we're sinful people. Even your word tells us that we're sinful people. And we need to search ourselves and know ourselves and confess to you when we're wrong, when we know we're wrong. And Lord, you can't bless us unless we're honest with ourselves and honest with you. I pray that you'll be with every prayer request this morning that's been made. Those that are in the hospital, be with Brother Asa's father, Lord. Touch his body.
Yes.
May the test that they're going to run be good. And the answer will be enjoyed. He can enjoy life for a long time. Lord, we pray that you'll be with all. Thank you for bringing Newell back to us and the others that's been in the hospital. I pray you'll be with, continue with Gary Perkins, Lord. Touch his body. Restore his health to him. That he may be back in your house, preaching your word, if it's your precious will. Go with us, lead us, guide us, and keep us. Be with us in this service today, and we'll thank you and praise you and honor you for all that you do, for we ask it in Jesus' precious, wonderful name. Amen.
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 Items for your school supplies. Now, this isn't everything you're going to need, but it's a little something that is to help you with the cost and help you get started. And we just want you to know that we do love you and we'll be praying for you. As a teacher, I have worked 34 years. You do not realize what these children face every day. It has changed so drastically, even in the last 5 years. So please, every day when you wake up and you see that sunshine and you see a bus go by, please pray for these children because they face what's unimaginable. So I think our high school kids, most of them are enjoying their last weekend, but we will have their notebooks here, so if they want to come later on, they can. But if we have any high school or 7th and 8th graders? Jay's in the nursery? Okay, we'll get Jay one. Okay, you want to come up, sweet? And you can pick out a notebook. And then get her back, and she can get back all the colors she wants. All right, if you are 5th and 6th graders, you're getting ready for that big jump. 5th and 6th graders, get you a notebook and a Ziploc bag, a little zipper bag, when it's your stuff's falling out. That goes inside your notebook. And just stay up here on the front so we can pray. And I try to put materials in each level, so if you're a visitor, we still want you to come up. We still want you to come, okay? Even the visitors. So, or what grade are they in?
4th and 5th.
Okay, we've got the notebooks up here. Do you want one?
Please come up.
Please come up. We've got plenty. I take the number we have and I add 10. So we've got plenty of notebooks.
Amen.
And if you want one, you can come here. But you want your hat. Okay, the 3rd and 4th graders, now they're near and dear to my heart because that's what I've taught for 34 years. Oh, wait, that's not hers yet. She's kindergarten. We'll get her news. All right, I've got two something just new. Also, 3rd. 4th graders, you get a box of crayon.
Stay up here.
Stay up here, we're
going
to pray,
okay?
Alright, 1st and 2nd graders.
Okay, we want to have a special time of prayer for all of these children, specifically for these children. And if you are a parent or grandparent of these children and you're able, we would like for one of the parents or both of the parents, or however many of you want to come up here and lay hands on your child. And then if there's not a parent or a grandparent here, then Suzanne, myself, and Mr. Bill and Mrs. Donna, we're going to lay hands on the ones that don't have a parent here with them. But please come forward. And as they come forward, don't just pray for the children, pray for their parents as well. They're going to be counselors this year. Parents go through everything that their children are going through in school because they get to hear about it, and there will be decisions that they have to make. There will be problems that they'll have to solve. And we hope that they take them to the Lord. All problems can be solved by the Lord. So if parents come up here, is there anyone that doesn't have their parent or grandparent here? All the pain boys and cousins down. Thankfully, each parent can split the sides there. Okay. And I want to ask you right now, I know you can pray for all of them, but I would ask you this year, and this is something that I've done in a previous church, and we didn't make it official, we didn't write things down, we didn't assign people, but I want you to look up here right now, and you see these children that are up here. I want you right now in your mind just to pick one of these children. And today I want you to pray for all of them. But each day of this school year, I want you to pray for that individual child. I want you to say a special prayer for them that God, if they're lost and they don't know you're a Savior yet, save them. God, if they are saved, I want them to be a light. I want them to be a witness, a testimony for you. Pray for their safety. Pray that they'll grow in wisdom, that God will be able to use them in fields and areas of their life that we haven't been able to reach. That there might be a future president. Hopefully there's a future president.
Amen.
They'll impact the world for Jesus. Impact the world for the gospel. So as we pray, I want you to pick out one. And you don't have to tell them you're praying for them. You don't have to call their name out. You may not know their name, but remember their face. Pray for them daily. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you're a strong tower for those who are to call on your name. We pray, God, for safety and protection for these children this year. God, we pray that you would put a hedge about them physically and mentally and spiritually. God, that they would, when they face temptation, when they face obstacles, when they face tests, God, that you would help them overcome. Strengthen them. Lord, they may not know what's going on. They may have not reached the age where they fully understand, fully grasp things. But God, we know that you can help them make decisions when they don't understand. God, we know that you can put a band of angels around them, Lord, to protect them with your divine hand, with your righteous right hand, Lord. Make a pathway for them. Be with their teachers, Lord. Give them teachers, Lord, that love you. Teachers, Lord, that will teach them not only 2 + 2, but God, that will lead lives of righteousness in front of them. Lord, give them friends at school that will be good influences on them. And may they be good influences on others. Lord, we just thank you, God, for them and what they mean to this church. They're not the future church. They're your church. They're a part of your body, Lord. Those of them that call on your name, they're a part of us. They're a part of our family. Be with our parents, Lord. Give them wisdom to nurture them and to help them to grow closer to you. Protect them on their trips to school. Protect them while they're at school. Protect them on their way home. Give them a good year. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. And let's give all the children a hand. The ones that are in Children's Church downstairs this morning, they'll be following Miss Donna and Mr. Bill down to Children's Church. The ones that are staying up here, you can sit with your parents or you can stay up here with Miss Suzanne and get an up close and personal encounter with me as I preach. Thank you.
I have a lot of experiences from school. Most of them I'm not going to share today. One of the greatest things I can tell you about school, I met my spouse my junior year in high school. So that was a good thing. So out of all, and I've learned more from her than the whole 29 years I went to school. So we're praying for all these children, all the teachers. Marianne's going to come sing for us this morning. Come bless her heart.
Most of you are probably not all are acquainted with my three little grandsons that come to church with me. And normally on Sunday, after church, we'll take them somewhere for a meal. Well, they all want to sit next to Imam. There's just one of me and three of them. So somebody's going to be the odd man out. My husband doesn't understand that. Well, they don't want to sit next to him. But so I'm sitting here most of the time kind of like this, trying to eat. And I realized one day, it's because they love me. It's because I care about them. It's because I'm there for them. And our sister played this song for the offertory a few weeks ago, and it just really touched me. And it's called Nothing Between My Soul and the Savior. And, you know, we ought to be just like the little boys wanting to sit next to their imam we ought to want to be just as close to Jesus as we can possibly be.
Right.
2 Titus chapter 2, 11 through 14 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, our Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar, zealous, peculiar people, zealous of good works." Pray for me as I share this song with you this morning. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, not of this world's delusive dream. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine, there's nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing prevented the least of his favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between. Nothing between like worldly pleasure, habits of life, oh harmless they seem, must not my heart from him ever sever. He is my all, there's nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing prevented the least of his favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between. Nothing between pride or station, self-life or friends shall not intervene. Though it may cost me much tribulation, I am resolved there's nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear, there's nothing between. In between many hard trials, though the whole world against me can be, watching with prayer, much self-denial, a trial at last with nothing. Between my soul and the Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Jesus is mine, let nothing be between.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have one quick announcement to make. I don't want anybody to miss this. Miss Jo gave me a big bright orange sheet of paper. It's not in your bulletin, and I don't want you to overlook it because it's going to be a lot of fun. If you're a senior or close to senior age, that's up to you to decide, whatever that means. But they're going to be having a hillbilly wedding and a hee-haw show coming up on the 20th. That's at 11:30. If you want to participate, you need to let Miss Jerry Phillips know that. She's right back there on the back row. She's talking to somebody. When you get back there, just stand there and wait and let her know. But that'll be a lot of fun. They always have a good fellowship with each other. I'll tell you, that's what churches need these days. We need to grow closer to each other. We need to spend more time with each other and do the things that God would have us to do. You say, well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, you can invite a friend, a neighbor, or a family member. And there are a lot of people that won't come to church here on Sunday morning initially because they say, well, I don't know anybody at that church. Well, if you feed them and you get them to know each other, then they can't use that excuse. They may move on to another excuse, but they cannot use excuse if they don't know anybody. We like to reach out to the community. We like to let people know that we are praying for them, that God would save them. That's the utmost responsibility that we have, is to go out and make disciples of all nations, teaching them whatever Christ has commanded us to do, that they should also do those things, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what we're commanded to do, is go out, get people to come in, share the gospel with them, and it's God's work.
That's right.
We're commanded to go and tell. I'm commanded to preach. Some are commanded to sing. But it's God that does the regeneration. God that gives a new birth. But we have a duty to do.
Amen.
Last week, we spoke on Hebrews chapter 11. And we preached on faith. And not just on faith itself, not just the first verse. That faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we said that also another way to say that is faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It's the conviction of things not seen. That faith grabs hold of something that can't be seen as if it could be seen. And we began to go through the Old Testament saints and share some things that they went through. We talked about how Abraham, and the Ethiopic version of the Bible, which is an ancient translation, says that Abraham and Sarah were like dead carcasses. But God gave them birth. Out of something that appeared dead, God gave life. Who do you know that can do that other than God? And how can anything like that operate except by faith? If they would have went with the natural eye, they would have never had a child. If they believed in something that they could have done, something that they could have grabbed hold of, and something they could accomplish in themselves, they had waited too late in their life to have a child. But God had made a promise. In the very first chapter of the book of Genesis, He said that the seed of woman would bruise the head of Satan. And He said the seed of woman, and the seed, that seed is Jesus Christ. And we know that Jesus Christ came through the Jewish people. He came through the seed of Abraham, which was Isaac. And that promise was made, and Abraham by faith believed in that promise. So he left his hometown. He left Ur, and he searched for a city whose builder and maker is God. He wasn't looking for just a temporary home down here. He packed up his house on his back, called a tabernacle, and he dwelt in tents. And he went from here to there by faith. And Enoch, it says that he was translated from here to there by faith. Not because of his own goodness, not because of his own righteousness, not because he was so saintly, but because he believed the promise of God. He was translated from here to there. And then we even spoke about Brother Tom Lindell, how he had said that he had made many mistakes in his life. He said, you don't know, Brother Asa, how sinful I've been. You don't know the things that I've done. And I said, don't share with me. I don't need to know. I said, get to the good part of this story. He said, the grace of God was sufficient to forgive me of my sins. And today, Tom is in the presence of Jesus Christ Himself because he believed by grace through faith, God made a way for him to be saved. We stopped in verse 16. And I know some of you are saying, well, that leaves a whole bunch of verses to go. Is there going to be a part three? No. God did not give me part three. What we're going to do is we're going to summarize verses 17 through 31 of Hebrews chapter 11. And then we'll preach we'll expose, we'll preach a little on verses 32 through 40. We'll expose the truth from scriptures there. Verses 17 through 31 can be summarized like this. Abraham had faith in God. His faith was so true, in fact, that he would have sacrificed his only son, the son that would fulfill the promise. That he was so faithful that he was willing to do that and say that if it's God's will I do this, we will come back again. How many of us could take faith, put our faith in God, that if he promised us that we would be the father of many nations, and here's our son that promise was going to be fulfilled in Isaac, and then go take him and sacrifice him because God commanded us to? How many of us have true faith? How many of us have faith to believe God's promises enough that we'd be willing to act on His promises? He said, I will come again. Because He knew God had made the promise that He would be the father of many nations, that His seed would number the sands of the sea. And He believed the promise enough to say, I believe that I can sacrifice my son, but God is so faithful, He will still fulfill His promise.
Amen.
Right. So He said, let's go, Isaac. We shall return. He believed God. And we read last week in Romans chapter 4 that faith was counted to him as righteousness. Abraham's act of taking Isaac and going to sacrifice him, that didn't save Abraham. His faith in God and His Word saved Abraham. And then there's Jacob, who was down in Egypt land. He was in a foreign land, but he believed the promises of God, that God had a homeland for them, that God was going to put them somewhere. He was going to establish them there by the Mediterranean Sea. And when he died, he said, take my bones with you when you enter into glory, because you will arrive, because God has promised.
Right.
Now, how many of us make promises that look hopeless? It looked hopeless to Jacob. It looked hopeless to the children of Israel that were down in Egypt. It looked hopeless too. They were having a famine. There was no food. They had to go down there. But yet God had promised them something. And they didn't give up. Jacob didn't give up and say, well, we're down here now. That promise has already missed its opportunity. God can't act. God can do what He wants to do. When God makes a promise, it will come to pass.
That's right.
And then Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. How much faith did Moses have? Now we know Moses was a sinner, right? Was Moses a sinner?
Yeah.
He was a murderer.
Right.
To man's eyes, Moses was just as bad as sinful as you could be. He talked back to God and he murdered somebody. But he had faith in God. And that faith was counted righteousness to him. He said, I'm not going to be Pharaoh's daughter's son. I refuse to be named with Pharaoh. I'm going to go be with God's people. Even though it may cost me my life, I'm going to go follow. And then by faith, he kept the Passover. How silly it must seem to modern day scholars and people who are so intelligent that God would send a word to a man and say, I'm going to smite all the firstborn children in this country unless you put blood over the door and put it on the post of the door. To man's eyes, that seems foolish. How is putting blood of an animal going to save children? And how do you know children are going to die anyway? Moses believed it by faith, and it saved his life. By faith, he led him through the Red Sea on dry land. By faith, there was a harlot named Rahab. Let me tell you something. That doesn't touch your heart. That even in the Old Testament, with all the laws and the rules and everything, that God, the sovereign God of the universe, would look down and see a harlot. You walk down, you say, well, I don't hang around harlots. You go downtown Johnson City. Suzanne used to work for ETSU. I would sit down there sometimes and wait to meet her for dinner after she would have training down there at the downtown ETSU clinic. And it break my heart seeing some of these women and men that were living down there and some of the things they were doing just to get by. And some of us church people, sometimes we look at those people and we say, that's what's wrong with this country. No, what's wrong with this country is that we don't go out there and tell them that Jesus died for sinners. And that Jesus can save them if they would believe in His name. That they can be saved and forever changed. God used the harlot to save His people. And then God saved her because she simply believed.
Amen.
the report of the men that came to her town. Now let's look at verse 32. And what shall I more say? That's what I feel like. We've went through, it seems like, the whole Old Testament to give you examples of people that lived by faith and not by sight. What more should we say? Or what more could be said? For the time would fail me. And I know that the writer here must have been Baptist, or at least Baptistic, because he said the time would fail me. And we always look at the clock and we say, hey, so you've got about 7 or 8 minutes, it's getting lunchtime. You know, God understands our time frame. God could have had the writer here to lay out each individual person from book to book. He could have filled volumes and volumes and volumes of books and examples. But God uses simple words from Scripture, simple examples to build faith in Christ. What more could I say? What more could be said? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, or Jephthah in the New Testament, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets. All of these men, David, who sinned and sinned and sinned, who hung his harp up, who lost the joy of his salvation. David just, he went out and he killed a man because he had a relationship with another man's wife. But because he had faith, God said, he's a man after my own heart. By faith. Who through faith, they subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. You think of Daniel here, but even throughout the ages, God's people, whether they be the Jewish people that were thrown in lions, David was not the only example through history of God divinely intervening and shutting the mouth of lions to save his people. You say, how did David do that? David didn't do anything. He just trusted in God. You may say, what can I do? Look at our nation. Look at my family. Look at our people. Look at our churches. What can we do? The problem right now is that we try to do so much. What we ought to do is trust God and seek God's Word for the day and seek God's will for now and do what He says. Have faith that whatever He says will bring about the right result. I'll save that for later. No, I'll say it now. So many times we pray for lost people, we pray for lost people, we preach, we teach, we sing, and we see people not being saved, so we say, well, what can we do differently to see people saved? If they're not going to be saved through the preached Word of God or through sharing the Scripture or some other form of sharing the Word of God and prayer, they're not going to be saved.
Amen.
There's one way, that's Jesus. Jesus Christ is the way. Men must accept Him, must call on His name, must believe in their hearts, must put their faith there. And we need, as a church, we need to put our faith in the gospel that it still works. What saved you? What saved me? The gospel. Now, there are different ways and means of getting the gospel out there. Yes. But it's still the gospel that speaks to the hearts of men. It's still the Holy Spirit that opens their eyes. It's still God that saves them. They wrought faith. They subdued the kingdoms. Gideon went out. He had a whole army. And God kept whittling down and whittling down and whittling down the number. So many times we want to go with a big army to conquer this world in the name of the Lord. But God said, nuh-uh, don't take them. Don't take them. Don't take them. Here's your crew, Gideon. Now go and conquer in my name. They overcame great obstacles. They quenched the violence of fire. 3 Hebrew children, we spoke on this a couple weeks ago. Did they turn down the heat? No. Did they take their water hoses with them? No. They just said, if God delivers me, He's able, but if He doesn't, we're still not going to bow. They had faith. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness, were made strong. That means when they were sick, God lifted them up and gave them help. David cried out. He said, my sores are oozing within me. God healed him and touched him so that he could be a great king and be a great witness even in our day. They wax valiant and fight. They turn to flight the armies of the aliens or the foreigners. The modern day church will say, well, really what the Jewish people did was they went in and took someone else's land. Wrong. You're looking at it from man's eyes again. Yeah, those people may have lived there longer, but God said it was His people's land. So even though the people may have lived there for thousands of years, they were foreigners. because God said so.
Amen.
Women received their dead raised to life again. The Shunammite lady. Think about that. My son's dead. Then here comes the man of God. He says, you know, what's wrong? My son's dead. He says, let me see him. And he goes in there and basically lays on top of him, talks to God about it. And God raises up a dead child. Not because the Shunammite woman was so self-righteous, not because she deserved it, but because for some reason God intervened because He wanted to. For His glory and for His praise, and because He loved that woman. He raised up her dead child. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Some people, think about Paul. Paul could have been set free. Now this is, talk about Old Testament. We'll talk about Paul here for a second. Paul could have been set free. If he'd appealed to Caesar, he was a citizen, he could have been set free. But he chose to stay under house arrest so that he could testify of the glorious good news of Jesus Christ before the authorities. By faith, he chose to stay in captivity, that they may obtain a better resurrection. We think about things all wrong down here. We would say if we were in prison for the Lord, the best thing that could happen to us would be for them to open up that prison door and for us to walk out well. What did the Old Testament saints believe and the New Testament disciples and early Christians believe? They believed what would be far exceedingly better would be to be so faithful to Christ, to know Him and His suffering, to become like Him in His death, and await the resurrection.
Right.
That's how much faith they had in their God. And you look at people all around the world today, there are women separated from their husbands, children separated from their parents, locked in prison, awaiting the death sentence. All they would have to do is say, I don't believe in Jesus. I refuse to accept Him as my Savior, and they would be let go. But they'd say, I'd rather sit here in this jail and have an eternal resurrection, an eternal life, than for you to have any say-so in my release.
Amen.
Faith in Jesus. Others had trials of cruel mockings, scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. This is verse 37. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Who was sawn asunder? Some people say that Isaiah the prophet was sawn asunder. Can you imagine? Today we want to tell people, you work for the Lord and He'll take care of you. You'll never have any problems. When really what the Bible says is God says, go, trust Him no matter what. That's what the Bible says. They were tempted. They were slain with a sword. They wandered about in the sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. The world looks at us today. How many of you ever go online and read the Johnson City Press? And we can edit that out for the recording, the Johnson City Press. How many of you ever went on there and read a news article and you see the comments people put underneath the news report? There was a little article about praying for students this week, that the churches need to come together and pray for students. You should have seen the comments people put on there. They don't like Christians very much. They want to gnash on us with their teeth or their words, and one day it'll be a little worse than that. The message that we carry is offensive to the world. You must repent because you're a sinner. Call on the name of the Lord. He's the only way. That's offensive to people that won't believe. But you know what? They say that we're backwards. They say that we're uneducated. They say that we're hateful and all these things. They've never been to a place like this.
That's right.
Sit amongst brothers and sisters and see the love that when someone's sick and shut in for 5 or 6 weeks, people sending cars, people wanting to take food, people going by and visiting. They don't know that it's churches like this that feed the orphans and help the widows and send water around the world and dig wells and send goats to Africa so people have it. They don't see that. And one day God is going to say these very words, I believe, to the world. You are not worthy to even entertain the presence of my people. Does that mean that we're special people? No. It means that the blood of Jesus Christ is special.
Amen.
And anybody He's willing to die for,
that's right,
is a special person because of Him.
Right.
They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all the, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. These people, you know what they were waiting on? They were not really waiting on worldly pleasures. They were not waiting again on a kingdom. They were waiting for that promised Messiah. And He did not come in their day. But they received righteousness because they had faith that he would come. And in verse 40, hear this verse if you're a child of God. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Do you realize that God could have made salvation possible another way? He could have required you to keep the law perfectly. He could have required you to climb the highest mountain. He could have required you to buy your way. He could have sent his son early in the Old Testament. He could have blinded our eyes so that we couldn't see. He could have walked right by us. But he chose in the latter day to send his son into the world. And that whoever would believe in him, and this excludes anybody who will not believe in him, anybody that will believe in him will have eternal life. And you say, Asa, this is an evangelistic message. No, it's not just an evangelistic message. It should be a message of encouragement to the church. This should make you rejoice. It should give you peace in knowing that those Old Testament saints came the same way that you and I come. It was by grace through faith. And God did not perfect His people until you and I also could hear about the Savior and call on His name and be saved. And then one day, they're going to crown Jesus Lord and King of all. And it won't be just Jewish people and then Christian people, but there will be one group of people, and we will be perfected in glory with Him by grace through faith.
Amen.
By grace through faith, you will be there. I will be there. Amen. Nothing can separate us from the love that our Father has for us. The Bible says it this way, that the Father gave the Son people, and all that the Father gave to Him will come, and no man will be able to pluck you out of His hand. Your faith has anchored you squarely and solely in Jesus. You say, Asa, that sounds awfully simplistic. That sounds like, well, that I can't do anything good to earn the favor of God. And I'm going to tell you, you're exactly right.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that we have a better way, something better came for us. These people, how many of you have ever, at Christmas time, you knew that your husband or wife had you a gift? And you just overheard maybe part of a conversation, maybe you saw a receipt or you saw a box wrapped up and you thought, yes. And y'all, you thought all these wonderful things about how good that gift is going to be. I can't wait for it. Can we open it Christmas Eve? Can we open it the day for Thanksgiving? Let me open the box. I want to open the gift. And then when you open that gift, it was better than you ever imagined. And you hugged your husband or wife, and you maybe shed a few tears, and you still hold that gift as precious and as sacred to this day. You love that gift. For some of you women, it may be like an engagement ring, maybe not Christmas, but it's some kind of gift. That's sort of like the children of Israel. They had this promise that the Messiah come. They saw a shadow. They just saw a box with a bow on it. And they believed God. That God is going to be good. We don't know who He is, but it's going to be good.
Right.
So I'm willing to die for you. I'm willing to walk in the desert. I'm willing to climb the mountains. I'm willing to cross the river. Oh!
Amen.
Thank you.
Bless you, Lord.
And then,
bless
you. I should say this for Christmas. And when Christmas came, or when your birthday came, you opened up that bow, when Jesus came, and there was no longer a shadow of the Messiah, He was the Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
The appointed one, the anointed one.
Yeah.
You don't know how unworthy we are to even name the name of Jesus.
Amen.
But not only can we name Him, we know who He is.
Right.
We have an account of Him from God's Word. We don't have to guess and wonder who is the Messiah. When is He going to? We know it's been revealed to us a better way, a better covenant, a better priesthood, a better life.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
Jesus came.
Yeah.
Amen.
Bless you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
If you're here today,
and you are unhappy. And you feel like you're searching for something. Let me tell you something. Being yourself, you're not really searching for anything. That's the Holy Spirit wooing you.
That's right.
Drawing you to the Savior.
Amen.
Today is your day to quit looking after a shadow or a who can this be or who is that and realize that the only Savior is Jesus, and by grace through faith call on His name. Amen. And He said, whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out.
That's the word.
If you're here today and maybe you're looking for a home church and you think, man, I want to go to a church where they preach Jesus crucified, buried, risen again, and coming back, guess what? We do that here. You can come to be a part of our church.
Amen.
But most importantly, if you're looking for a place to glorify God, to give Him praise, to worship Him in spirit and in truth, but you really haven't called on His name yet, you've not professed Him before me and you've not told other people. You say, you know, past few weeks, the messages, they've done something in my heart and I believe. Now you need to confess Him before men. The Bible says that we need to confess our salvation. I want to ask the musicians to come. And you say, what do I need to do to be saved? First thing, you've heard the Word. The second part, the Holy Spirit, that's His work. The conviction, the regeneration, the moving, the converting, making you born again, opening your eyes so you can see. Now what you need to do is come and profess Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's not the act of saving. The act of saving Jesus did on the cross and the Holy Spirit works in your heart. But you're making a move to let the world know that Jesus, is your Lord and Savior. Jesus, by faith, I believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If you would, please stand as they begin to sing. We're no longer fallen shadow people. We know the Savior. His name's Jesus.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message, and if you will, you may share this video with a friend or family member. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's the best decision you'll ever make. It's as simple. A, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And C, confess Him as your Savior, and you can pray a prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. I need you. And you died for me on the cross and promised to save me. If I'd only trust you, I do trust you, Jesus. Come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Save my soul so I can go to heaven when I die. If you prayed that prayer, you can notify us. We have some materials we'd like to share with you and get you started right in your Christian faith. To learn more about our church, just again, visit us on website, BoomsCreekBaptist.org, and don't forget to check back with us next Sunday for the message of the hour. God bless.